Welcome to the MBS podcast. This is episode number 2, Presenting Convergence. Yeah, you'll understand after you listen. Your hosts today for the MBS podcast are Mark Polino, Belinda Allen, and Sean Dorward. MBS podcast, where Mark, Belinda, and Sean talk about Microsoft, business, and stuff. Warning, we often geek out. Today we'll be talking about the new Microsoft Business Summit and whether it really is the return of convergence. You'll also get a listen in on our sharing how we prepare and come up with topics on which to present. This podcast was recorded on April 13th, 2018. Our sponsor today is PowerGP Online. Visit their site at powergponline.com. This podcast is the opinions and ideas of 3 Microsoft MVPs who are wrong a lot. Good morning, everyone. This is Belinda Allen, and this is the MBS podcast we're recording. We have the M, Mr. Mark Polino. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Belinda.
And we have the S, Mr. Sean Dorward. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Belinda.
And I'm B. Today, we are wanting to at least start out talking about the new Microsoft Business Application Summit, because Microsoft is kind of bragging its convergence. Now, Mark, I know you and I have been to a lot of convergences. Sean, how many convergences have you been to?
I've been to 3, the last 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mark and I have been to Oh, very
too
cool.
Many.
Very cool. Yeah, this is actually, it's interesting that they're kind of bragging that this is the new convergence, because technically what they did is 2 years ago, they had Data Insights, which is a Power BI conference. And Mark, you were there at the first one. I know I was.
I was. Right?
Yeah. So we were both there. We had basically, we had a group of like 10 people that were all GP related. We kind of like hung out together. That was actually a lot of fun. We hung out together at night and had dinner and shared what we learned with each other. That was a lot of fun. And I didn't go last year. And now they're turning this into this whole business application summit, and they're bragging its convergence, because I think someone realizes they made a mistake getting rid of convergence.
I would totally agree that I think they made that they recognized they made a mistake. In the on the website for the registration, they used the word convergence twice in like the one paragraph introduction. So I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Microsoft Business Application Summit is the convergence of events such as the Data Insights Summit, Convergence, and Dynamics 365 Tech Conference. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. And one of the things I was like, so when I saw that, I'm like, well, how are they going to get the 10, 12,000 people that would go to Convergence in Bellevue? Because that's always where the Data Insight was. But then I realized they're actually having it in downtown Washington. So they do have a little bit more space and probably a lot more fun for those of us who go to Bellevue on a regular basis to hang out in Seattle. Are you guys planning on going?
I don't know. I'm on the fence right now.
I am committed to going. I'm really looking forward to seeing what it's about and sort of this rebranding of convergence. And I'm excited to, you know, you guys just talked about something that is part of the reason why I'm amped for this. I know it's a little bit different name. It might have a little bit different of a format, but being a part of the first and trying to help, you know, build something great again, I'm super excited about it.
Well, I'm committed to going, but my commitment to going became before I realized it was the convergence, and I'm doing air quotes, replacement. And that was because it was Data Insights. And, you know, I'm loving me some Power BI. So that was why I committed to going and went ahead and made arrangements with my company to go. And then I saw that. And then I'm like, oh, let's have another conversation. I said, well, at a minimum, we need a fly on the wall. So I'm the fly on the wall too.
Yeah. And I think what we get out of this depends. First year, the conference popped up pretty quickly. They announced it late March, something like that, early April. And the conference is actually in July. I could see the first one being a bit of a, I don't know, a trial balloon. You know, how many people can we get here in 4 months? I don't think it's going to be 10,000 people. That's just an opinion. But certainly they've got room to grow it into something over the next couple of years.
And they're going to have to figure out a cap on it to begin with. So I'm willing to bet that this is going to be a sellout.
I tend to agree. I mean, at least that's what their money's on. I believe when I went to register late last night, the number of hotels, I forget how many there were, but there was at least 10 or 12 hotels part of the, you know, the registration page's hotel listing.
I've heard rumors, and these are just rumors. Like we say, we're wrong a lot. I've heard rumors that there's some jealousy inside of Microsoft over some of those monster conferences like Dreamforce, which drags 100,000 people in. We also heard when they killed Convergence that part of what they were trying to do was consolidate and shrink the number of conferences to make them bigger and get some of those big numbers. So we'll be interesting to see where this goes over a couple of years.
It's funny you say that, Mark, because one of the things I was thinking, because I had kind of heard that too, and I thought, well, why would you get rid of the one that's the biggest one you have? Why wouldn't you just open it up and alter it so that it includes more applications and make it a business convergence? And I couldn't understand the reasoning behind that. It didn't seem to make a lot of sense, because I know they thought, oh, well, this is a business users conference, so let's make it a C-level conference. But that lasted 1 year. It didn't really pan out for them. But so I couldn't understand, if they were really trying to create one giant user conference, why they didn't just add to the one that was already successful and the one that already had a large following.
Yeah, I don't have any answers for that. I think we all had that same head scratching thought. My biggest question is, you know, there's a lot of stuff here around Dynamics 365 and all of the Power BI, Power Apps, Azure, that sort of thing. I think the folks in the GP community are wondering if there's going to be any GP content here. And the answer is, we just don't know. There's no content listed other than kind of those generic pieces. So as we get closer, we'll get a better idea of what they're trying to do here. It feels a little rushed, and this is just an opinion, but this first one feels a little rushed given the timing. So I think it'll be this year is kind of the trial balloon, and then they'll take it from there.
Well, they already have a successful conference in Data Insights. And so if they just build on that, it's going to be a successful conference. It might be a little early for some of their typical like ERP products or their CRM products to be really wrapped up into that. So it might be a little early for that, and it might be a little rush for that, but they're certainly going to have a successful conference with the Data Insight side, because they already know how to do that. So Sean, I was telling Mark before we got started that I am working on a whole new pool of presentations, because I'm ready to show something a little newer and a little more exciting. So I've been trying to work on that. For example, I have opted not to submit an advanced Excel session for the summit this year, because even though I think I could deliver it with enthusiasm, because, you know, I just love some Excel too. The thing is, if I say, who has seen this, and half the room raises their hands, my balloon burst and it makes me sad. So if I'm sad, I'm not presenting well. I've been working on some new pool of sessions. One of them, I guess, is our Excel shootout. That one is an old one that we're bringing back again with the three of us. And Pam Michelek has agreed to be our MC again. Hopefully this year we won't have technical difficulties.
So Belinda, though, isn't that one of the hardest things, is you've got a successful presentation, and I know you've been through this, I've been through this, you got a successful presentation and you're just sort of done, you know, you're kind of tired of it and you're ready to move on to something else, but you're a little scared that maybe this is the unicorn, you know, this is the one thing you do well. And when you go to do another one, you're doomed.
Let me go back to that for a second. Hang on, Sean. Your life hacks one is there. You're going to be tired of it in another year and a half. So hang on with that one. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Mark. I totally get that. But no, I don't feel that way so much. I mean, because I deliver a lot of different ways. And I think that when I'm delivering any kind of presentation, I think it's my enthusiasm for the presentation that is my unicorn. And so I think if I just find something that I'm excited about, so long as I can deliver the content where it's not over anybody's head, which is usually, if I don't, if I make it where I can understand it, that means, you know, anybody can understand it. I know what you're saying. I know people people think of me and they think of Excel and Power BI, and I'm sticking in the Power BI family.
Where I was going though is I had a really successful presentation, and then I added a second presentation in, and after a couple of conferences, I realized the second one that I added in was actually getting even better scores than the first one. And that's when I realized, okay, maybe I'm not doomed. You know, maybe I'm not stuck with this presentation for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I totally get it. My life hacks session and sort of style has been very successful, but I see, and just at this last GPUG Amplify event, you know, I thoroughly enjoy the life hack sessions. If you're listening to this, come check them out. They're a ton of fun. But I was surprised to see that my second session, which was more just me sharing my opinion on certain topics, really it rated higher. I had more response in from the participants in the session. And quite frankly, I was sort of just feeling that out. You know, are people interested in hearing my experiences in that sense? And so I'm totally, I was shocked, but I'm really motivated to, just like you guys were saying, to sort of branch out and see what else I can contribute, maybe in the same way or in different ways, and also in other topics. I've sort of always focused on what I was most comfortable with, but challenging myself to branch out into the new technologies that are on, well, not on horizon, they've been on horizon, but Power Apps Flow, Power BI, Power Query, et cetera. It's good to challenge ourselves. If you like doing this, it's important to do it for the folks who come and attend. That's one of the reasons why I'm excited about the Business Application Summit, to see, I think there was like over 400 sessions, certainly you can't attend that many, but to see how things are delivered to C-level and then users, and maybe get some notes. I have a little bit of a different submission for the summits this fall. Certainly my life hacks are there because people are pounding at my door to see and hear more of them, but I do have some cool topics up my sleeve.
It's funny, you said something, Sean, that kind of made me remember when Kim Peterson was running GPEG. She used to always laugh at me because when I wanted to learn something, I would sign up to present on it. And that forced me into learning it. And so I kind of do that a lot. But I'm kind of the same way you are. I was giving Mark a rundown before you joined us of some of the new ideas I had. And one of them, you know, every time I do a session on Power BI, somebody invariably walks up and says, how do I get started? So finally, I am creating one that I've submitted it for Summit. We'll see if they take it. But it's a Power BI getting started checklist. And my plan is to literally do a checklist and walk through the examples and talk about all the gotchas and things that need to be thought about when they're signing up. So that's another one. So yeah, and Power Apps and Flow. I've got one down. Why would I care about Power Apps and Flow? Yeah, so that's another cool one that is out there.
So while we're talking about sessions, let's spend a minute on SQL Saturday, because we were just talking about that earlier today.
Yep.
I had the privilege of going to the very first SQL Saturday here in Orlando, and Sean gets to go to his very first SQL Saturday coming up soon. So Sean, spend a minute on that. Tell us what you're presenting, because it sounds like you're pushing yourself a little bit there as well.
I definitely am. So thanks to Belinda for reaching out to me to see if I had absolutely no plans on a random Saturday, and she was absolutely correct. So
for those of you who don't know, Belinda is an enabler. In the drug world, we would call her a pusher, but that's not polite.
So I've never been to a SQL Saturday before. The name describes exactly what the conference or the day of educational content is all about. So I've never spoke on SQL or anything relating to it before in this sort of capacity. So I was sort of struggling to come up with content. And I came across something on my to-do list, my personal to-do list, was to become my own expert in Power Query, or the get and transfer function for Excel and Power BI. So that is what I'm gonna be speaking on, sort of an introduction, what is it and how to use it for the newbie. And I'm really excited about it. I hope I have some folks in the room who are ready to learn, because it's gonna be 50 minutes of a lot of fun and hard Excel data transforming tips. Looking forward to it.
And they pitted us against each other, Mark. We're actually presenting at the same hour, the same slot.
Oh man, that's just cruel.
It is cruel. What,
SQL Saturday where?
It is in Raleigh, North Carolina.
And when?
It is tomorrow, April 14th.
So if you're listening to this, you missed it, but you can grab another sequel Saturday. Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about that, Belinda will be in Sioux Falls, beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota this summer.
Yep, August 18th. And I'm really hoping that the two of you are going to join me on that one. So yeah, if you haven't been to a Sequel Saturday, Sequel Saturday is part of PASS, the Professional Association of Sequel Servers. And after Mark went to the first Sequel Saturday, he told me about it. And I was like, oh, what? And I don't get jealous ever about anything unless you learn something. I remember at one conference, my husband likes pretty women and he likes to look at pretty women. And I remember at one Stampede many years ago, some woman came up and said, I have to tell you, your husband's looking at other women. And I was like, and? And she was like, oh, you're okay with that? And I'm like, yeah. But boy, if he learned something I don't get to learn, like he's been learning Angular, and I'm like, that's not fair. So I've started learning Angular too. I'm a bit of a freak, I know. So Professional Association of SQL Server, it's a great way to learn. It is essentially free. You do have to pay for lunch. Lunch usually is...
You don't have to pay for lunch, but then you don't get to eat.
Well, true. If you want to eat lunch, it's usually $10 to $25, depending on your location. And you get a full day of SQL Server training. They have sponsors that come out, and they have a giveaway at the end. So you got to stay till the very end, because usually, and Mark will vouch for this, the giveaways are usually pretty darn good items.
They are.
Yeah, like Alexas and, you know, really good stuff. I've seen iPads given away. Surface books given away. So yeah, really cool stuff. So good swag, definitely good swag.
Belinda, I am going to try to join you for that Sioux Falls Sequel Saturday. If nothing else, I think a road trip with you ought to be a blast. We could probably write a little book about it. We'll have a ton of fun.
Oh yeah, we could stop along the way and take pictures on the road. It'll be fun. Mark, is that putting pressure on you?
No, no pressure.
I've been pushing Steve Indo as well, trying to get him. He's got that session. I'm taking Mark's thunder on this one, because at the Partner Tech Conference last year, Mark came up to me and said, I just saw, well, you tell it, Mark, about his session.
I don't even remember what I said, but it was one of the best sessions I've ever seen. And I have sat in on more sessions than you can count. And it is one of the best sessions I've ever seen, just in terms of the clarity of what Steve presented in terms of troubleshooting SQL Server queries and, more importantly, optimizing SQL Server queries and how to kind of walk through that process. He did a really, really good job.
He calls it optimizing SQL Server for mere mortals.
Yeah, it's just I went back and watched it in the repeat, and you know that's pretty rare to go catch the repeat in the same conference. I was very, very impressed with that.
He also did it for Jason at MS Dynamics World, and it's recorded. So if you're a member of MS Dynamics World, which is a free thing to join, you could go back and listen to it and watch it again. So totally recommend that. Really awesome stuff.
Yeah, but it's always fun to see those live. There's something about somebody up there doing it and, you know, the little mistakes and the little pieces that just make it so much more fun to see them doing it live.
And this is completely off topic, but did you see the video that he made where he took the song I Want My MTV and made it I Want My MVP?
Yes.
Oh my God, that was hysterical. Oh my gosh, I laughed so hard. Have you not seen it, Sean?
I have seen it. I'm a Dire Straits fan too, so I totally was into that. It was very creative and a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, he is one of my favorite people to hang out with. I adore him. Trying to come up with new topic ideas and what people want to see. I mean, it's really a struggle. I don't know if people realize that. I mean, we don't always come through and say, hey, I need to show this to everybody. We really kind of have to even find an interest or a passion for it.
Yeah, you kind of have to find something that is a mix of both popular enough that people will come to the session, but unique enough that you're not going to overlap with other people, or it's not something that maybe they've seen all over the place.
Right. That's right.
So I have a question for you guys. If you're thinking about a new session for a larger conference, summit, or, you know, business applications or something like that, do you trial that? Like, do you trial it at a local user group chapter?
Occasionally I do. And I try to encourage as many chapters, I don't go out to a lot of them, but they do fortunately let me present remotely a fair amount. So occasionally I do. Usually I'll do a recording of it and then watch it and see if I think it's interesting.
I do the same with recordings, and I put my family through the torturous task of watching me for 50 minutes, and they give me feedback. And I've learned that even though it's a topic that they may not really care about per se, they get my jokes, they get when I'm trying to be serious. And I think just that personal touch is definitely something I do dry runs on. But if I can, I'll do a webinar or something local to prepare.
Yeah, there are a lot of things in South Carolina that aren't legal in other parts of the country. Your family sit through your presentations is one of them.
Well, I also do play some of the ideas off my husband, but I also have the benefit that he knows GP. He was a GP partner for over 25 years, so he totally understands and gets it from not only the partner point of view, but from the user perspective as well. So I do have that benefit. But no, I don't always go in. You know, sometimes I like things that are a little bit fresh and new. And I also run it by some of my teammates. I'm like, what do you think?
See, I never record myself. I can't sit and watch myself. It drives me nuts.
Oh,
I'm more likely
myself.
To. Oh, you just listen to it?
Oh, yeah. I just record the screen and listen to it.
No, I'm so vain. I record video.
And I've heard lots of recommendations that you should record video because you see your gestures and other things. And I just can't do it. So I'm much more likely to schedule something with a user group or something like that and go and trial it. And if it works, great, but it gives me a chance to then fine tune it before I do something bigger.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. I don't want to see myself at all. I don't want to see that. Nobody really wants to see it. If I could figure out a way to put a screen in front of me, but then I would deny people the opportunity of seeing me hang from chandeliers occasionally, you know, as I bounce off the walls.
Yeah, you're much better live, Belinda. There's just the performance quality there that is, you just don't want to miss that.
Well, I think some of it is because I laugh at my own jokes. I think I'm funny. And sometimes when I think of something that makes me laugh, I mean, it's kind of like cooking, you know, if you don't laugh at it, then I just assume you don't have a sense of humor. So it's okay with me. I would not be a good comedian.
It's a great show. I laughed at myself all night long.
Exactly. Well, I have been trying to come up with some new ideas based off of what people have asked me. And so fortunately, the world of Power BI gives you the ability to do that. And one of the things that you made me really happy, Mark, you said that was a session you would attend, is one that I've submitted called A Beginner's Guide to Debits and Credits in Power BI. Because how do you make a debit and a credit dance, right?
Right. We were saying that's the last mile of financial reporting in another tool. If you have a tool that is, say, Power BI, that is not a dedicated financial reporting tool, it'll pull data out and present it and all of that. But getting the debits and credits right and having them appear so that I can have an income statement where all of the numbers are positive, but we still end up with the right value at the bottom. You know, presenting those kinds of things that's the hardest part. That's why we have dedicated financial reporting apps. And so, you know, being able to solve that last mile and let people do reporting all in a smaller number of applications, I think is huge.
And I agree. I tell this story a lot. So when I was 24 years old, I managed a Hampton Inn hotel, and it was the fourth Hampton Inn. So it was 1,000 years ago. And I remember.
So if you stayed there, we're sorry.
Do what?
If you stayed at the fourth Hampton Inn, we're sorry about what that and everything Belinda did.
No, that's a really nice one. It's really nice. It's actually the one there, Sean, in West Columbia.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So I was the general manager there and 24 years old, and the financial statement came the first month. And I opened it up, and it was 40 pages. It was owned by Holiday Corporation at the time. They owned Holiday Inns, Hampton Inns, Embassy Suites, and what casino? Some casino. It'll come to me later. And anyhow, That's, I almost cried when I saw that. When I looked, it was like the statement was so hard to read. It was like I just wanted to cry. And I'm not someone who will just let things beat me. So I just slowly kept turning the pages. And then finally, I saw something that started making sense and it started working for me. But financial statements can be a nightmare to read. And I share that experience not for the CFOs in the room, but for the department heads who might be a department head because they're good at their job and they just kept getting promoted. And they might not have that education or that background to look at financial statements, but now they're responsible for budgets and matching up to budgets and how can they look at it to make it easier for them. So that's why I share that story because, I had taken courses on financial statements, but looking at it in the real world was a whole different thing than looking at it in a college class.
You are absolutely right. And now you're trying to make them better.
I am trying to make them better. I have this theory that the traditional financial statements are never going to go away. I mean, they're needed for CPAs, they're needed for taxes. But what you look at doesn't have to be those old boring statements. I mean, really what you want to do is you want something where you're not going to sit and pore over it for a whole day like I did and would do the whole time I was there. You want something that's going to immediately tell you where you need to put your focus. What are your trends and what are your outliers? And those are the things that you're going to want to see. How are we making budgets? It was kind of interesting. I was talking with one of our customers a couple weeks ago, and he was ta it was a not-for-profit, and he was talking about how he looked at numbers. He had worked at like a Fortune 1000 company prior to that, and he would compare how he did to last year and he would also take what he's done year to date and back out how much budget he had left, and then do a comparison. Is he still on track based on what he did last year? And I thought, wow, that's an interesting way to kind of do that. So I've been trying to think about how that's what I do when I'm driving the car. I know I should be watching the road, but I'm going, how can I put that in a visual? So I guess now Sean's questioning whether or not he wants to ride with me from Sioux Falls.
Right. Do you really want to ride from Sioux Falls to Fargo with Belinda at this point in time?
He's gonna
He's
say,
hoping
"I'll drive.
for that
I'll pay the $25 to be the extra driver on the rental car. I'll drive. Just as long as it's not Mariano Andretti, I think we'll be okay."
Right,
So,
right.
yeah, I see financial statements going much, much more visual. And I know we've had this conversation a lot, Mark, over the years.
Well, that's been our whole key, you and I both. The purpose of analysis is to support good decision making, and that includes financial statements. And so that's really what you're trying to get to is these numbers are great, but ultimately they're past, they're what happened. How do we use those to support good decision making going forward?
Right. Because another interest of mine is machine learning. Are you guys interested in that?
Yeah, but we should probably tackle that on another podcast.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That one is so fascinating.
Because
And I learned
yeah,
about
because I.
that first, Sean, by the way, at a SQL Saturday.
What's that? Say that again.
I learned about machine learning for the first time at a SQL Saturday.
Oh, wow.
It was at a Boston BI focused. Boston has one a year where they do focus on BI. It was there, and they said, "Oh, you should just go to the one of the Microsofts." The guy said, "You should just go to this one." And I looked at it, and I'm like, "Oh, I don't know that I'm interested in that." And when I went, my mouth was just hanging open the whole time. But that's another form of business intelligence, something that just
Yeah,
a little
and
more predictive stuff.
we're just scratching the surface for business applications. We're probably not doing a good job with lots of things, lots of stupid little things we do in businesses that could be fixed with even some really low-level AI and machine learning pieces. But we probably need to tackle that on another podcast, or we're going to be here all day.
This is true. This is true. Okay, well, we probably ought to go ahead and wrap up today's session. So we started with the topic about the Business Application Summit. So Sean, you're going, I'm going. We need to work on you, Mark, and get you to go.
Well, I'm on the fence. I got a lot of travel this year, so we'll see what happens.
I was just going
Yeah,
to say, I don't think you travel enough.
that's kind of interesting. I do want to say, maybe we could include this. What's interesting about this is the aggressive introduction to the summit, to the application summit. Short amount of time, not much decision-making ability. People already have their budgets in place. So those things come into play for everyone, but so I'm really interested to see how the turnout is there.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, to Belinda's point, you know, bringing this all the way around, folks who were going to, for example, Data Insights, or they were going to the Dynamics 365 Tech Conference anyway, this is replacing both of those. So this is in their budget, potentially, presumably, for this year. So, you know, those people are just going to move those dollars from, well, we had dollars for Tech Conference for Dynamics 365, and that's going to go into the Business Application Summit. So there are some of those folks. It's more the folks who maybe had did not have any of those conferences on their radar, and now this has popped up and they're thinking about whether or not they're going to go. Those are the ones that are going to be budget and time constrained.
And one big question is going to be a lot of the people who attended Convergence, when they stopped doing Convergence, they started going to the summit, the GPUG Summit, AXUG Summit, NABUG, CRMUG. They started going to that summit instead. And the question is going to be, are they happy enough there that they're going to choose to stay going to that summit if they only get one a year? Or are they going to be willing to move to try another one?
Right. And what is Microsoft? Does Microsoft move this to the spring? So there's a spring and a fall option. You know, do they leave it in the summer, which just is a challenge for European folks? I know, I think we've heard a lot of that from some of our friends in Europe, that this conflicts with a number of things, family oriented things for them. So it would be interesting to see kind of where this goes next year, how they move it around.
Yep. Totally agree with that. Okay. Well, thanks. And thanks everyone for joining us. This is the MBS podcast, M for Mark, B for Belinda, and S for Sean. And I hope you have a very geeky day. From Mark, Belinda, and Sean, thanks for listening to the MBS podcast today. Visit our site, mbspodcast.com, for a listing of all podcasts and more about your host. From our sponsor today, PowerGP Online, and Mark, Belinda, and Sean, have a great day and keep geeking out.